Welcome to Simple Wins, the show where we talk to the architects behind the most successful B2B firms. And we're currently in the middle of a massive project curating the 2026 B2B benchmark. And we're looking for the high-level strategies that actually work in today's market. And I knew I had to get Justin Trimbold on the mic today. So Justin is the founder and president of Anti-Sin Advisors, a consulting company that helps large enterprises, small businesses, and entrepreneurs develop a fit and clear path forward to improve efficiency and effectiveness through developing value-generated AI solutions. Justin, a big welcome to the show. So excited to have you here.
Yeah, great to be on, and let's get this on. Let's get this going. Excited
Absolutely.
To talk to you.
Let's do this. So I'm really curious to hear your thought on this, because I know a lot of B2B companies are struggling when it comes to seeing an ROI when implementing AI. What's the biggest reason for that?
Yeah. You know, I think the interesting dynamic, I think this is always worth mentioning, is you know, there is a lot of noise in the market right now. And I think everyone points to that MIT study that talked about, you know, 95% of generative AI projects or pilots don't, you know, result in an ROI. There has since been a lot of counterpoints, and there are always going to be exceptions, right, in organizations. And, you know, one thing I'd like to point out is that from working with clients and doing a lot of research on the state of generative AI, there's massive variation in terms of how well-equipped organizations are to then extract value from generative AI. So it's not surprising that first, you see that low of a number, but two, the barriers to value creation, to more specifically answer your question, have so much more to do with transformation and change management and much less to do with the technology. So what do I mean by that? So what we've shown in our research and when we're working with clients is that we think about this through five specific lenses. So the first one is the degree to which your generative AI strategy is aligned to, let's say, your enterprise strategy, your business unit strategy, or some problem you're trying to solve or some opportunity you're trying to put together. So think of that as one failure node, right? So the inability to have that aligned increases the chance of failure. The next one that we, or conversely, right, increases the chance of success. The next one that we look at is the ability for your team to work collaboratively in cross-functional formats. So not just sharing data, but working together, not being siloed. That's another very key problem that almost all businesses struggle with. So that's a critical part of generative AI. There's the ability of end-user proficiency of these solutions. You know, think of 20 people that you know that are, let's even say, that are active employees at companies. And think about how many of them could really go through a process of identifying an opportunity for a generative AI solution, going through a structured experimentation process, and then knowing how to track whether that's working or not, and then iterate and do that. So the ability to just use the solutions. So that number of people that can do that is also quite low at this point. So we're not talking about just asking it an open-ended question, but doing that in a very thoughtful business-grade way. The next one we see is scaling and adaptability. What we see is that one of the biggest predictors of success in generative AI is a track record at the organization of being able to extract value from technology solutions, or even a prior track record of using traditional AI effectively. And most companies don't do such a great job of generating value with their technology investments. And the last one is governance and compliance. And so having the structures in place to what do? What do we not do? The thing we like to say is we think of generative AI as a sandbox where the strategy defines the four walls and the toys in the sandbox are the different tools that you're allowed to use. A lot of organizations don't have great clarity on where those four walls are and what tools they can use. So their people kind of freeze and they're not empowered to experiment. So you layer all of those things together and you think about, it doesn't mean you have to get them all perfect, but there are so many points where there can be a breakdown. And as a result, it's not surprising that there would be a failure to generate value from these generative AI investments. And I'll close with this thought that, so the question might be, why is this different than traditional technology or traditional SaaS? It's like, well, the difference is, the main difference in our view is that while SaaS solutions, let's just think of like Salesforce, they're programmed to be at this part of your workflow. Here are the 7 decisions that you might need to make, right? Based on, you know, something related to personnel management. Whereas generative AI is, we have this problem with personnel management. What type of solution can solve that? And it's a much more open-ended. So rather than being a finite list of 7, it's a much more infinite amount of possibilities, not just in how the solution can be deployed, but also how the solution is being used. So it puts a requirement on your people, on the way in which the organization operates across all 5 of those parameters. And most organizations, frankly, just aren't there. That's a very high bar to reach, that very few companies, you know, if any, ever really get there. You know, there are a lot that are better than others. You know, if you think about, if your listeners think about the number of jobs that they've had where it was clear what the strategy was and actions and incentives aligned to that, people had the relevant proficiency to do novel work, not the current work that they're doing. There was at least table stakes collaboration between the people that you work with. There's the ability for your company to adapt and scale and be agile. And there's proper governance in place. That's probably a low list if we were able to have a you know, hands go up in the audience. So there are just a lot of potential failure points.
Absolutely. When we look at those failure points, how do we kind of go in? Because there's those 5 failure points that we just talked about right there. But how do we actually go in and set this up step by step? Because obviously we can't solve one of those issues quickly. I mean, yeah, those are massive issues that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So what is your process for going and taking it step by step by step so we can actually solve that problem?
I love that question, because the last answer any client that I've had or of any consultant has had is, you've got to change your operating model. You have to change the way you work. Like, that's a nightmare, right? Nobody wants to deal with that. Now, that's still important. And so the way that we like to frame it up is, there's a way to think about this of winning today with generative AI. So that means understand where you are, understand what your advantages and limitations are across those categories, and deploy solutions accordingly. Then there's another lane of winning tomorrow, which is what you're talking about, is let's take a more first principles approach. Let's figure out long-term how we can make these changes and what that enables. Now, within that first pillar of winning today, figuring out where you are on those capabilities, finding use cases, that's fine. But the quick win that organizations can put together that we see as being really effective is, take your team, do this individually, take your business, whatever it is, pick one workflow in your business. It doesn't have to be a key workflow, but it obviously would have more resonance if it's something that's a critical process to the value that you deliver or what you're trying to accomplish. So pick a single workflow. So just a single traditional process. Think about each step in that workflow. Identify where the bottleneck is. Think about where there's an opportunity to improve, ideally, the part of the process where that bottleneck is. And then there's one more step to this part of, think about if you alleviated that bottleneck, what's the downstream effect or the upstream effect? Are you just shifting the bottleneck, right? So an example would be, we implement a generative AI solution because we identify the bottleneck as our sales team isn't generating enough leads, right? So now we have a way to like screen and qualify the leads through a generative AI architecture. Now they have these nice set of Glengarry, Glenn Ross leads that, you know, they can go through. But let's say upstream of that, there isn't an adjustment in the way the sales team is incentivized, meaning they don't have an incentive to then follow up more or work harder and close more leads. Then obviously you're just shifting the bottleneck to the right, and you're not going to get the ROI, even though the efficiency is improved at that step. So find the bottleneck, think about what else has to be true for that value to flow through. Then define one KPI. And so the KPI can be ROI, but as an example in that, with that example that I used, define a KPI of, in this case, you might actually want to define two. You would define something like the number of sales that are closed, but also the number of qualified prospects that are being connected with. And so what that does is it allows you to then diagnose, okay, this rate's going up, we're qualifying more, but our sales rate isn't changing. Okay, what's wrong? Well, maybe it's that we didn't change the incentive structure. And so then you can track that, and then you track ROI as well. But think of at least one leading indicator that allows you to diagnose where the issue is if it isn't generating value. You can test and see if that KPI is dependent on the ROI or is enabling for the ROI. Then you go and look at it. We talked about before, you lock in that requisite operating model change. So in that sales example, it would be make sure your people know how to consume and understand how the generative AI solution is providing them with the high quality leads. And also make sure that the incentive structure is adapted, or at least in a test group is adapted, so that they'll follow up. So get that very simple operating model adjustment in play, not transforming the entire operating model like we talked about before. So it's one operating model change, perhaps two. Assign an owner, set a concrete timeline for this experimentation period. Let's say it's 7 days, it's 30 days, whatever it is based on the, in this case, like what's a typical sales cycle, and you could problem solve for that window, you could solve for that. And then put together a charter. And the charter is for the people, the sales team that's consuming the content, but the charter is also for the leadership. It's like, hey leader, here are our three KPIs, our two KPIs, our one KPI. This is what good looks like. And at the end of this period of time, we're going to assess this. And based on the results, we're going to make a decision. So it's getting very focused, and it's going from problem identification to setting up the structure and starting a pilot tiger team type of execution. So you need instead of saying, let's solve all the transformation problems at once, let's solve one. Let's make it very clear what the process is, and let's make it clear what success looks like, and let's shrink the team down as much as you can that's involved in the process.
That's fantastic. Justin, where can people go to learn more about you?
Yeah, you know, I'd love, I'll you know, share for the show notes. You know, they can go to my website. I think the best way to learn more about us, if you have some listeners that have some free time, we have a white paper that walks through this win today, win tomorrow concept. So I'll share the link for that. But for your listeners that maybe want something a little bit more of a dopamine hit, something they can do quickly and maybe get some enjoyment out of, We took our generative AI readiness diagnostic and shrunk it down to 5, 6, 7 questions. You know, some of the key drivers of enterprise readiness. You know, they can go on there, take that quiz, and you know, would love to start a conversation with your clients. So, you know, I don't ask anyone to ever read the white paper, but they can read that if they want, if they're into that sort of thing. But there's a little bit more fun you can have with the diagnostic.
That's amazing. Justin, thank you so much for being here. I know AI is such a big part of our listeners' business, and everybody's going ahead and trying to figure it out. So thank you so much for being here, Justin, and sharing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, KISS, keep it simple. You know what the last word is.
Yes, 100%. No, that's awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. And seriously, if you are trying to figure out how to implement AI in your business, go give Justin a look up. Go to his website. Go check it out, because, I mean, he's literally building AI systems for companies right now. So, guys, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you on the next episode.